Open our Bibles to Psalm 119. Our focus this morning will be on verse 88, which is the last verse of this paragraph. Normally we would pursue this study on our main worship service, but I'm switching the materials today, and we will be considering it during the Sunday school hour. I would like for us to give reading to the entire paragraph to bring back to our memory some of the things that we have considered. So let's begin with verse 81. Psalm 119, verse 81. My soul languishes for thy salvation. I wait for thy word. My eyes fail with longing for thy word, while I say, when wilt thou comfort me? Though I have become like a wineskin in the smoke, I do not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on those who persecute me? The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They have persecuted me with a lie. Help me. They almost destroyed me on earth. But as for me, I did not forsake thy precepts. Revive me according to thy loving kindness, so that I may keep the testimony of thy mouth. The word revive can also be translated quicken. What was David's condition? Well, I would say that it was pretty desperate. As he has described it here, I believe we could say that he was very near dead, physically, perhaps, tried to the uttermost in his own spirit. These words set before us the severity of his persecution. And it sets before us the intensity of his trials. All of us have difficulties in our life to one degree or another. I believe we could say safely that David suffered to the uttermost. My soul languishes. That's strong language. He describes himself as a wineskin in the smoke. I don't know if we can imagine some of the housing of those days and wine being preserved in a skin, but the heating of the house would dry that wineskin out if it wasn't properly kept. And it became useless. It cracked. It was dried up. And he says, that's my condition. Picturesque. The sobering awareness of his condition brings him to the place of crying out to God. Can you remember times in your life when you have been so desperately tried and through suffering, whatever, that you cry out to God for help? And what does David cry out for as he cries out to God? Well, revive me, or quicken me, I think is a good translation. But notice that it's not quickening just for the sake of being quickened. He says, quicken me so that I may keep the testimony of thy mouth. He doesn't want to continue on in this condition that is hindering him from serving God as he would like to. He's proclaiming the testimonies of God's truth. So I believe that David's condition is both physical and spiritual. The trials and persecution that he had experienced, no doubt, took a toll upon him physically. Let's consider that. The need for physical quickening. We are vessels of clay. Are we not? And I can tell you, the older you get, the more you will be reminded of that. Pastor Hughes, a very dear friend of mine, when he was our guest in our home several years back, as we were having breakfast and discussing old age, he said to me, "Brother, remember, old age never comes alone. It always brings its weaknesses. It's more frequent visits to the doctor, aches and pains, perhaps. Now, if you think back through the Old Testament, we can find many, many clear examples of the need for physical quickening. And of course, the ultimate need for physical quickening would be that of somebody dying. And in 1 Kings, we have the story set before us of the widow's son. I won't ask you to turn to this passage, just listen. "Now it came about after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick. And his sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. So she said to Elijah, What have I to do with you, O man of God? You've come to me to bring my iniquity to remembrance and to put my son to death.' And he said to her, 'Give me your son.' Then he took him from her bosom and carried him up to the upper room where he was, and laid him on his own bed. And he called to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought calamity to the widow with whom I am staying by causing her son to die?' Then he stretched himself upon the child three times and called to the Lord and said, 'O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's life return to him.' And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived." The use translation of that word is in the Psalms, where David is crying out, "Revive me, quicken me." Out of utter desperation. He realizes at this point, unless God intervenes, I'm helpless. Here's the widow with her dead son. What anticipation could she have that he would ever live and be brought back to life? And God graciously and mercifully met that need. Of course, in 2 Kings, we also have the story of Naaman the leper. He needed physical intervention, physical healing, physical quickening. And remember, of course, it is said of him, he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amazing. Miracle of healing. Quickening. And then in the New Testament, in Luke chapter 7, we have the son of a widow. Why don't you turn there with me and follow along this particular passage. Luke 7, 11 through 17. And sometimes as I read these stories of sickness and death, you think, you know, I live a half a mile from the hospital. And when there's serious illness, we have a recourse. It takes 5 minutes to get there. Not so in these days. Luke 7:11, and it came about soon afterwards that he went into a city called Nain, and his disciples were going along with him, accompanied by a large multitude. Now as he approached the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a sizable crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, "Do not weep." And he came up and touched the coffin, and the bearers came to a halt. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. Desperate, desperate needs, physical needs, for quickening. And God has the power to meet those needs, and he does meet them. But of far greater importance is the need for spiritual quickening. Physical quickening, as we have looked at it, adds a few more years to a person's life. When we were missionaries in Mexico and had returned back to the States, and we were living in Phoenix, and God graciously provided a Christian doctor for us. Bless his heart, he never made any charge for seeing any of us as a family. And he taught a Sunday school class, and I knew that, and since he wouldn't take any fees, I would always, when I had to see him for whatever, I would bring him a commentary from whatever book of the Bible or whatever, just to encourage him. And he got to the point that anytime I came in, I had a sack with me, I'd set it down. He'd say, "What'd you bring me this time?" He wanted to know what commentary he had his own airplane and flew and was a pilot and flew to Mexico on occasion and gave free medical treatment in the villages to help out. And we were talking one day when I was there, and he knew that I, of course, was a missionary with MGM. But he said, "You know, brother, I go down and help and do some good. He says, but you know, he says, when you really think about it, what good is it to add a few more years to a person's life if during that time added on, they do not come to know Christ? What a good conversation. We move now from the realm of the physical quickening to the realm of the spiritual quickening. The classic passage, you know what it is already, Ephesians 2. Why don't you turn there with me? Ephesians 2. And beginning with verse 1, and you were dead. Dead. How? In your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, you could say lived, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, here's the word, quickened, made us alive, quickened us. Now, whether you're talking about physical or spiritual death, death is clearly a condition of absolute and total helplessness. There is physical death. There is spiritual death. Dead is dead. Dead is dead, whether it is physical death or spiritual death. Christ's encounter with Lazarus, been in the tomb 4 days. And I tell you that at the end of those 4 days, he was no more dead than he was when they put him in the tomb. Death is death. No degrees of death. You don't say, well, he's pretty dead, very dead, or almost dead. If he's dead, he's dead. And that's the state of absolute helplessness. And the one thing that is needed when there is death is life. Jesus stood before the tomb and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Two words. Come forth. And he did. And he was quickened. I trust we're beginning to get the picture of what David had in mind when he said, Lord, quicken me. Now, he was alive, but he could have been very close to death at that time. But in desperation, he's calling out for the one and only remedy that suited his need at the moment. Divine help. Quickening. Now, the trouble with the matter of spiritual death . It's not always easily recognized. Now, a physically dead person, you can't hide that. You can have the body prepared for burial, but it's dead. But spiritual death can be disguised. Because there's physical life, there's activity, there's things going on in that person's life. They're not just there laying in a coffin lifeless. They're up and about and they're going and they're coming and they're talking and they're showing emotions. I mean, it's so easy to disguise spiritual death. It can be disguised religiously. It can be disguised by different kinds of religious activity. It can be disguised by a person learning Christian vocabulary, saying the right thing at the right time, in the right way, going to church, occupying your place, singing hymns, carrying a Bible, can be very easily disguised. And all along, even in that state of being disguised, there's still death. And there's still the one essential need, life. Life. Doesn't that point up to us, dear people, the importance of preaching God's word faithfully so that it penetrates, so that it takes off the disguise, rips it off, and exposes a person's desperate need? Faithful preaching, faithful evangelism, faithful prayer for those who are yet outside of Christ. Why? They're dead. That's why. Faithful and true evangelism. Now, there's also need for quickening after we come to Christ. Life is there. All sorts of things can transpire in our lives where we need, along with David, to cry out for quickening. I believe David was a man who had been quickened spiritually. He knew God. He had spiritual life. But here he is crying out for quickening. Oh, hey, David, I thought you were saved. Ah, yes, but things can take place in our life to bring us to various needs of quickening by God. often, well, in fact, every time we worship, have a worship service, we have prayer in the office, in the study. Some of us do. Always, we come in after we have prayed. Why do we pray? One of the things that we pray for is, Lord, quicken us. Quicken our minds, our hearts, our souls, our spirits, that we may be able to worship you as we ought. We're praying for divine influence that enables us to use the facilities that God has given us appropriately in our worship service. We often pray, I pray, Lord, quicken me that I might preach your word with clarity. Why do we do that? Because we're acknowledging our desperate need of God's help that He alone can give us. We need quickening daily in our Christian life. We fail. We sin. We get lazy. We get indifferent. And sometimes we go a long ways thinking that the recovery from this almost lifeless state can be corrected by determined resolutions determination, self-determination. And those things have a part, but they are not the answer in its entirety. There needs to be that spiritual quickening that God alone can give us. Let these means indeed be used. Diligence, determination, self-discipline. Yes, those are means that can be sanctified and used. But dear ones, used with the fullest conviction that all means, all instruments, all helps of every kind without the influence of the Spirit of grace are useless. If the Spirit that quickens doesn't do the quickening, the flesh profits nothing. David seeks quickening from the right source. Quicken thou me, that I may proclaim thy word effectively. What are the times of need for quickening? Times of affliction, trials, difficulties, persecution, failure. Whatever the testing may be, cry out to God, quicken me, quicken my mind, quicken my heart, my soul, my entire redeemed being. Our faith needs quickening. Our love needs quickening. Our minds need quickening. Finally, there is the need to pray earnestly and fervently for the quickening of those who are yet outside of Christ. And when we are praying for the salvation of others, what are we actually praying for? We're praying that God will do for them what they cannot do for themselves, nor can anyone else do it for them. We're praying that God would intervene and effectually call them, quicken them, effectually call them to salvation, to Himself, and to bring about that in His own way and time. We can pray, we can evangelize, we can hand out gospel tracts, we can preach, we can plead. But there's no quickening unless you have those two little words, but God. But God. If God is pleased to do the quickening, if God is pleased to effectually call them to Himself, there will be true salvation. Salvation of a dead sinner. And the first evidence, saving faith and repentance. There's life. Spiritual life. Turn with me to hymn 404. We have a description here of that quickening that took place in the life of the Apostle Paul. Hymn 404, a description of the quickening of the Apostle Paul. We sing the glorious conquest before Damascus gate. When Saul, the church's spoiler, came breathing threats and hate, the ravening wolf rushed forward, full early to the prey. But lo, the shepherd met him and bound him fast that day. O glory most excelling that smote across his path, O light that pierced and blinded the zealot in his wrath, O voice that spake unto him the calm, reproving word, O love that sought and held him, the bondman of his Lord. O wisdom ordering all things in order strong and sweet, what nobler spoil was ever cast at the victor's feet? What wiser master builder e'er wrought at thine employ than he till now so furious thy building to destroy? Lord, teach thy church the lesson. Still in her darkest hour of weakness and of danger, to trust thy hidden power, thy grace by ways mysterious, the wrath of man can bind. And in the boldest moment, thy chosen saint can find. That ought to grip our hearts. That's quickening. And we need to see it in our own life after we've been quickened initially. But we need to see it in the lives of those who are yet outside of Christ. And may we be found often pleading with God that He would do that work, that He alone can do. And cry out even for our own personal needs, as did David. Well, our lesson is brief today, but I trust the Lord will use it. And we'll continue Psalm 119 next time. Let's pray. Gracious God, we look to You now this day for that work of grace that You alone can do in any heart and life. We We thank you that we have reason to believe, Lord, that there was a day when you quickened us by your mighty power and saved us out of our spiritual death. And we pray, Father, that you will do that often in our midst as we have opportunity to witness and to preach the true gospel. And as your people, Lord, I pray that we might know and experience what it is, even as we begin each day to cry out to you, Lord, quicken us by your Holy Spirit. Enable us this day as we go forth to serve you as we seek to do your work. We pray and we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.